Here we are this morning with Michael Sipe, the Republican candidate for District 53. And again, thank you for being here.
Oh, RL, thanks. It's really great to be here. It's pretty cool to be on this end of it. I'm usually on the other end of the sound waves coming out. And so it's just really fun to be here.
Good, good. Well, let's just start right there. And so why did you decide that you wanted to stick your toe in the water?
Well, I'm a business guy and not a politician and certainly not a career politician or a lawyer. There's plenty of those in Salem. I think everybody would probably agree with that. But I never had an interest in politics at all. In fact, I voted, but I didn't actually even really care who won that much. I'm sort of embarrassed now to say that, but I expected that our Constitution would be a guardrail regardless of who won. And then you may remember an event that happened in early 2020, and when we discovered that the executive branch could actually completely disregard the state law and the Constitution. And where that hit hard for me was in a couple of areas. One, when the churches were closed down, and which is unconstitutional. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court agreed with that. When the schools were closed down, which was a travesty and a tragedy for us all, that we have only begun to see the devastation as a consequence of that extended closings. And then my friends in business, where their businesses were shut down by the government. I mean, who would have ever thought that would have happened? So that caused me to start paying attention to politics, because I had friends all across the community that were shuttered and couldn't operate. And the devastation that appeared to be coming out of that was really troubling. Fast forward to November of last year, 2021, Jack Zika called said, "Hey, the district has been redrawn, and I'm going to retire. And would you run?" And so, after some prayer and thought, my wife Kathy and I decided, "Hey, look, we're not going to leave. We love this place, so we're not going to run. We got to stand and fight, and we can't just whine about it. We need to go to work." And so, we decided we would accept and run for office, with the purpose of providing solutions, of helping.
Some of the things important to you as you are on this path, give us an idea of what they may be.
Sure. One obvious, as a business guy, I'm planning to go to Salem as a business advocate, and specifically a small business advocate, because my clients are all Central Oregon companies, just regular folks trying to make a living, trying to do good work, job creators, value producers. And so that's why I'm endorsed by the Oregon Chamber of Commerce, by the National Federation of Independent Business, by the Oregon Small Business Association, by the Taxpayers Association, by all of the agricultural interests, including Deschutes Farm Bureau, Oregon Farm Bureau. And so to go to Salem to actually advocate for small business is critical. You may have heard that Oregon is not very friendly to business. And we need to fix that, because small business is the backbone of our community. It's what funds the charities. It's what funds the churches. It hires the people. It supports everything. Business is the only thing that makes money. Everything else spends money. So that's one. Second thing is public safety. Our government, specifically in Oregon, has forgotten what the first duty of government is, and that's public safety. If you think about when Bend was settled, I'm real sure that the first person they hired was not a social worker. They hired a sheriff, right? Because law and order, public safety, the protection of our society from bad actors inside and bad actors outside of a community is the first job of government. And Oregon abandoned that over the last 3 years with all this stupid defund the police thing. I mean, what a tragic move that was. And so I'm very pro law enforcement, public safety. That's why I'm endorsed by the Oregon sheriffs, by the Oregon police chiefs, by the Oregon State Police, by the victims' rights organizations. And so going to Salem to be a defender of the police, not a defunder of the police, is a big deal to me. Third thing is budget priorities. If you look at the summary of the Oregon budget, I don't mean the budget itself, just the height, what they call it, the high points.
Yeah.
It's 2 inches thick. 2 inches thick of the high points. And it's $121 billion. That's up 160% from 2019. There is enormous amount of waste, but more than that, there's terrible misprioritization. Everyone knows what the main problems are, but the budget is not being directed toward those. And it takes a business guy to go in there and say, wait a minute, what we're supposed to be doing is this. What you're doing is this. We need to change our priorities. We definitely need to change the direction.
I know one of the tenants that you're hoping to deal with has to do with the homeless, and which has, I mean, we all see it. I mean, you know, just head down Cooley and Hummel, it doesn't look like it's getting any better, but you know, there's a lot of different people that are trying to solve that problem.
Right. That's a really critical thing. I never expected when I got started on this thing, because of the other things that that I had as a priority, I never expected to be putting nearly the amount of attention as I am into this. And so there's two levels of this that need to get addressed. At the state level, one of the things that has to happen is a repeal of Measure 110. This has been an absolute debacle. And the state did it. The voters were sold a bill of goods, and then the state has miserably failed to execute on it. And the consequence is tons of people are on the street right now that are addicted, mentally ill, dying. And a lot of it stems from this failure of Measure 110. I was one of the first, maybe the first political candidate early this year to start calling out that. Now it's become, actually not on the opposing party side. My opponent actually is still defending it, saying, no, it's too early to tell. Let's just keep going. Maybe we can tinker with it. No, it is a mess. And we need to repeal it and rethink this whole deal, especially in terms of mandatory referral. You can't just expect people to just change voluntarily.
Yeah.
And I have personal experience with that because, you know, my wife for 30 years before her tragic death was severely bipolar and alcoholic. And we went through all the whole treatment thing and in and out of facilities and everything else. And so you just can't assume that people are just going to do it. So we got to get Measure 110 done. Then the other thing at the state level is we need to go heavily after the pushers of drugs.
Yeah.
So we're not ever going to stop the flow of these drugs into Oregon, but by gosh, it shouldn't be a flood. It shouldn't be a tsunami. We need to go after them. That goes back to my law and order position. And so at the state level, those are the two big things we need to take care of. And then in regard to Measure 110 or whatever it is, if we're going to take marijuana dollars and use them to provide treatment facilities, for heaven's sakes, we can't sit on this stuff for a couple of years and allow hundreds of millions of dollars to amass while people die in the streets. Now, it's finally been distributed through this massive OHA bureaucracy that bled it dry and delayed everything. But it's a tragic mess that the bureaucracy of the state has caused.
Yeah. One of the things that you would have the opportunity to affect, hopefully, at the state level, I think about Senate Bill 762, the wildfire risk maps, the rules that are getting written along with that, how, you know, wildfire is an issue. Yes. Will that put an undue burden on homeowners, depending on how the rules are used? Possibly. So, you know, that along with doing something about the forest, doing what you can there to get the feds to come in and clean up their act as well in the forest. I mean, that would be a real role that you could affect.
Absolutely. And it's a real thorny mess. Again, unfortunately, you're probably going to hear me beat up on the bureaucracy of the state a whole lot. What an insane, foolish thing that was, that initial issuance of this wildfire map. You know, there's no wildfire possibility out in the middle of an alfalfa field under a wheel line.
Yeah.
That was part of it. So it causes me to have some great skepticism about the ability of the bureaucracy of the state to actually get anything done. If you look at the failure of Measure 110, you look at the failure of rent relief, you look at the failure of the unemployment, on and on and on. the bureaucracy of the state is really not showing its best colors right now. Clearly, defensible space makes sense, but that's always made sense. I mean, people should protect their own property. They should clean up around that. That just makes sense. That's being a good citizen for a number of reasons. The whole mandate of it by a state bureaucracy, to me, feels like another one of those executive branch overreaches. The forest, big deal. We've got to clean up the mess on the ground. I mean, if you've been out in the woods, I live out in the woods most of the time. You could probably some part of the year you probably call me homeless because I'm out sleeping under a tree and out kicking around and fishing and everything else. But we got to clear the underbrush out where we can in the state stuff. We have to get that cleaned up. We need to have responsible harvesting. And then the issue about getting after the fires immediately when they start and not just allowing the whole place to burn down is, I think, pretty critical. We are challenged by the fact that the state government owns only small part of the forest. And the feds have the vast majority of them. But we're supposed to have a couple of advocates in Washington that aren't really coming through either.
Put well. So here we are. If there was one thing that you want everybody out there to know about Michael Sipe, what would it be?
I'm just a regular guy. You know, and that'll probably come through in the way people hear me talk. I don't have political ambitions beyond going to Salem here. I never had political ambitions. I just want to solve some problems. And that's what I've done my whole career as a business guy. And if you think about business, the only reason business exists is because there's a problem and somebody goes after solving it and figures out a way to do it at a profit so they can keep doing it. And that's what I've been doing my whole business career. That's what I coach businesses on how to do. And that's what I want to do in Salem is take that kind of just common sense. I grew up on a farm. You know, I'm just a regular guy. But I'm a regular guy with common sense and a lot of years of business experience that I want to take to Salem to go after some problems that, frankly, if you took any one of the problems that are plaguing us, which, by the way, didn't fall down from the sky, they didn't come from Mars. They're the result of bad policy from an out-of-balance government that has been dominated by one party for years, a long time, but certainly for the last decade. That's where they came from, bad leadership, bad policy. But if I brought any one of these problems to you or to any other business-savvy person in Central Oregon in about a half an hour, literally not longer than that, you could look at the problem and you can go, well, this is clearly not working, what we're doing. And if we did this, we could fix it. It doesn't take very long to see where the failures of the policy and the decision makers have come. And it also doesn't take very long for someone with common sense to say, well, why don't we just do this? And we could do that all across the board if we have the will and if we have enough balance to be able to have that debate.
Excellent. Michael, thank you ever so much. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks, RL. And thanks for being the voice of the community for so long. I love it. And I also appreciate you being willing to help with the duck race recently and also being willing to help with the Ben Christmas Parade, which I produce. That's coming up in just a few weeks.
Fun stuff.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Cascade Views with Michael Sipe. To find out more about Mike, the upcoming election, the key issues he's focused on, and his campaign to represent Central Oregon and Salem as a state representative, visit www.avoiceforcentraloregon.com. That's www.avoiceforcentraloregon.com. You can get your own copy of Michael Sipe's best-selling book, The Avada Principle, at amazon.com. And finally, please vote in the upcoming election. Your voice matters.